to hear a person sing who has never lost her praise, to listen to one who has had heart surgery say, "I'm not ashamed." We thank you for singing today. We thank you for leading us in song. One of the great hymns of the church that brings joy and peace, solace, and tranquility to my heart is that great hymn, "More Love to Thee, O Christ," by Elizabeth Prentice. She writes of her love for Christ in these words: "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer that I make on bended knees. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. And then she says, "Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be: more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. Eternal and everlasting God, the God of every race, every gender, the God who stepped out in the midst of darkness and said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. We come in these preaching moments to bless your name, to hear a word from heaven, to express again our love for you, and to feel again your love for us. Let your spirit speak as never before. Help us to walk through these scriptures with understanding that the word of God fails not. Speak joy to our souls. Speak peace to our hearts. Speak to our minds, to our mind that it may not be cluttered. Bless now the people of God, and let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our Savior, and our Redeemer, the people of God who love God, said amen." The book of Job is a wonderful book. It is a book of hurts, but also a book of joy. It's a book about a man who kept on praising God in the midst of his crisis. The book of Job is about a man who, when his friends came to accuse him of being a sinner, he still kept praising God. And so we began this sermon today thinking about a song that I heard during the convention. It was one written by Tremaine Hawkins. The song, the lyrics, help us to see some of the experiences that she and that others had gone through. She talks about, in these words, she said, "I've lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. I've lost faith in people who said they cared in times of crisis. They were never there. But in all my disappointments, in all my disappointment in my season of pain, one thing never wavered. One thing never changed. I never lost my praise." I'm wondering if that's your testimony today. That in all that I've been through, I've never lost my praise. I think that's the testimony of Job. That all that I went through, all the pain that I felt, I never lost my praise. Rabbi Hirschner writes a book entitled, "Where is God When It Hurts?" Where is God when I'm going through my pain? Where is God when I cannot explain what's happening in my life? When I look at what has transpired in America, when I look at black lives, black youth, black teenagers, black men whose lives and has been snuffed out, I wish that I had the opportunity to interview every mother, every father, every family member. Some would be angry if I had the chance to talk to Trayvon Martin's mother and say to her, "Mother, how you feel?" I'm sure she would say, "I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, I feel helpless. What do you think about God?" I think I would hear her saying, "In all of this, I never lost my praise." Michael Brown, Ferguson, we know what transpired. We know what he did. But I thank his mother and his father who said, "We still praise God, even though we've lost our son." Eric Garner, New York City, his family, sorrowful about the loss, but I believe in my sanctified imagination, if they met in one corner of heaven and somebody asked them, "How you get here?" I think they would say, "I never lost my praise." Christian Taylor in Dallas, just Friday, life snuffed out. But his mother, in an interview, said, God is still good. Even though we do not fully understand what's happening in our life and in our world, we can look back over the pages of time and see Emmett Till and Martin Luther King Jr. and Medgar Evers and James Byrd. And somebody will say, in the midst of all of the murders, black life still count. And I will not stop praising God. Through all of this, I still will have praise of God. So when I look at the text, would you come walk with me for a few moments through the text and see in this text a man of God who, if he had the opportunity to testify this morning, I believe he would say, I'm not ashamed. I never lost my praise. Look at Job chapter 1. It is important that we begin with that first verse. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And then I need you to walk with me by cutting through and looking at that 6th verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and hates evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only unto himself put not thine hand. And so Satan went away from the presence of God. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, when you lose it all, don't lose your praise. When you lose it all, don't lose your praise. When you look at the scriptures that are printed inside, the scripture that is printed inside of our worship guide, there tells us the story of Job's loss. The losses that happen in Job's life. One runner comes to him and shares with Job that there was a day when his daughters and sons had come. A messenger in that 14th verse comes and tells Job that the oxen were plying and the asses were feeding beside them. And the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped alone to tell you. And the Bible says, while he was speaking, another comes and says, the fire of God fell from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone left to come to tell you. And the Bible in that 17th verse says, while he was speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. And yea, slain the servants and with the sword. And I'm just left with the word to tell you. And then while he was yet speaking, oh yeah, one said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder brother's house. And there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young and the young men, and they are dead. And I alone come to escape you. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Come on, help me here. If it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not one problem, one situation, it's another. But all situations come to help us, to remind us that God is still able and God is still willing to work on the behalf of his people. I want to talk briefly about at least four things. First, Job's prosperity. Secondly, Job's adversity. And then I want to talk about Job's perplexity. And then God's generosity. God's generosity, Job's perplexity, and Job's adversity, and Job's prosperity. In every way, Job was a rich man. He was rich in character. He was perfect and upright. He was not sinless, but he was sincere and obedient before the Lord. He feared God. He loved God, not with a terror, but with a humble trust. And he separated himself from evil. Job was a rich man. He was rich in character. He was perfect and upright. He was not sinless. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you can sin, and yet God looks beyond your faults and he sees your needs. He was rich in his family, having seven sons and three daughters. Large families, especially sons, were greatly desired in the East. Note in verse 5 that Job had a spiritual concern for his sons and daughters and prayed for them at the altar. How fortunate these children were to have a godly father. Job was a godly father, and Job said, maybe my children have sinned, so I need to pray for them. I don't know about you, but I've learned to pray for my son. I don't know about you, but if you have not been praying for your children, you ought to start right now, because prayer makes a difference in their lives. Not only does prayer make a difference in their lives, but prayer alerts God to the fact that not only does he care, but there's somebody that cares for the gift that he gave to them. You and I have children, and some of us have children, and some of us have not given birth to a child, but we have helped through the classroom or through the village to help raise a child. Our children need to be connected and not punished. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying when a child does something, we ought to show them love while we're trying to punish them. Help me, somebody. My little grandson has a way of biting and scratching. Oh, I guess I'm the only one got a grandson like that. Some of you had children like that who love to scratch, bite, and slap. Oh, guess what happened the other day? He hit me. And he caught me off guard, and I did what mother used to do to me. I sucked my finger and thumped him on his head. And he looked at me and said, Dad, Granddad, he said, Papa, why? Oh, y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. What he was asking was, why the pain? Why the hurt? He hit and he ran. And when I ran after him, he was laughing, which meant to me he didn't mean me any harm, but I meant to correct his action in a way that put pain on him. Can I help you here? God could correct us every day with some pain, but rather than giving us pain, he gives us love. For God so loved the world. So he was rich in family, had seven sons, three daughters, prayed for his children. Not like the mother.
Job was a godly father. His wife did not have the faith and the wisdom that Job possessed. Look in verse 9 when she tells Job, "You ought to curse God and die." She, and we can understand that she would rather have her husband dead than to have him enduring such pain. His children are gone. His camels, his livestock is gone. And what does he do? Rather than cursing God, the Bible says that in all these things, Job praised God. Look at verse 20. When Job arose and he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Oh, I wished I had some help here. When things go bad in your life, that's not a time to curse God. That's a time to worship God, to say to God, "I need thee every hour." Rather than walking away from God, go closer to him. Job realized that he didn't bring anything into the world. Look at verse 21. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22 says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Most of us have no problems trusting God when we are abased. Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I know how to be abound and I know how to be abased. Most of us, when things are going wrong, we know how to trust God. But it's difficult for some of us to serve God and remember when things are prosperous. That's why you got empty seats in the church, because folk have forgotten how good God is. They have forgotten how God has blessed them. Yes, we move from one community to another. Stop riding behind oxen and farming behind oxen. And now we don't have to go to the farm to pick the corn. We can go to the store and have money to buy. Oh, yeah, because God has been good to us. And because he's been good to us, some of us stop coming to church. I'm saying to you who are in church, don't stop coming. When your blessing comes, you ought to praise God more. Oh, yeah. We can praise God when we have something, but when we are short, it's difficult. Job did not permit his money and his possessions to take the place of God. That's Job's prosperity. Let's look at his adversity. Sometimes God takes off the bubble wrap and lets us get bruised. Oh, y'all missed it. Sometimes God takes off the bubble wrap and lets us get bruised. Satan's first accusation and attack takes place in Job chapter 1, 6 through 22. Satan has access to heaven and must report to God. In Revelations 12, 7 through 12, it talks about Satan being dismissed from heaven. But not just Satan, but Satan's imps also. Can I help myself? Sometimes we try to slay one giant, thinking that that's it. But there are other giants that come behind them. That's why David picked up 5 smooth stones, because he knew that Goliath had some brothers. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't think because you slayed one enemy that that's all to it. There are some more coming. And the Bible says that Satan was kicked out of heaven and all of his followers. In heaven, Satan accuses the saints before God. In Zechariah chapter 12, we see Satan accusing the saints. But thank God for our advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Jesus Christ, the Savior, unknown to Job, God and Satan discuss his case. Had Job known about what God was going to do and how God was going to use Satan, he would have rebuked Satan and Satan's lies. Job knew if he had known about the conversation, he would have had no room for doubt or concern, for we would have known that God was using Satan to test him. But he did not know what Satan had said about him. He did not know what Satan had interjected into the mind of God. But thanks be to God that God had pointed Job as exhibit A of what a godly man ought to be. But Satan will never agree to God's word. Immediately, Satan accused Job of being a hypocrite. The only reason why Job is obedient is because he's rich. Take away his wealth and he will curse you to your face. Note that the believers are hedged about by the Lord and that Satan cannot touch them without God's express permission. Notice what Satan says, "You built a fence all around him, and I would touch him, but I can't because there is a fence all around him." I wished I had somebody who would step up and say, "Yes, he's been a fence. He's been a fence all around me." I wish I had somebody in this church that says, "Satan tried to destroy me, but God stepped in. I don't know about you, but I have not lost my praise because God stepped in." Some time ago, I shared with the church that I saw in a house a worm. This worm was in the window shield, and I saw a bird trying to get to him. The bird kept on pecking, but he couldn't get through the glass shield. It ought to be somebody here that can say, "I was like that bird. Satan kept on pecking. Satan kept on trying to get to me, but had it not been for the Lord on my side," tell me, where would I be? And so Job has explained and shared and lost all that he had. But now there is that Satan that comes to offer adversity. But Job is exhibit A. He is there. But can I help you? Note that we are hedged about, that Satan can't get to us. He needs God's permission. Satan is not all powerful, for he's but one place at a time. Satan is not all powerful. He created nothing. He has limited power. Satan is not all present. He's limited to one place at a time. He can never, and he would never have entered the world if God had not permitted it to be so. Satan holds this world in his lap. Look at 1 John chapter 5, 19. "But greater is he that is in you and in me than Satan in the world." I need to tell you that there are moments when God permits things to happen. He permitted this to happen to Job. He permitted all of his wealth to be taken away. And then he permitted his body to be touched. I don't know how you feel about it, but every now and then something happens in my body. And I know it's God saying to me, "Jimison, don't walk away from me. Hold on to God's unchanging hand." It ought to be somebody here that was young, but now you're old, and you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It ought to be somebody here that you went through something, and God brought you through because he's been a fence all around you, because he's allowed, Satan to test you, but he's not let Satan to overcome you. I wish I could help you here by telling you Satan has armies, but can I help you? God has a greater army. Listen to what Satan said. Satan said the wind came and blew, the four corners of the house down, and your children are now lost. Job goes through this, but he says to God, I will not leave you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then this is what Job says to the church. When you're going through, just wait for your appointed time. I wish I had somebody that understand what it means to have seasons in your life and to have an appointed time. If you ask the man that was by the pool for 38 years, he said, I was by the pool for 38 years. Season came, winter came, summer, spring, harvest, and fall. But I did not get well because it was not my season. But thank God that God shows up in his own time, in his own season. He shows up, and when he shows up, there's a blessing with your name on it. I wished I had the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years to give a testimony today. She could tell you, I was sick for 12 years, and excuse me, doctor, she said, I spent all the money that I had on physicians, and I didn't get well. But thanks be to God that God shows up. I like what the old preacher said. He shows up with healing power in the hem of his garment. Is there anybody here that knows something about the healing power of God? Job is hurting, but God shows up. Let us examine what happened. Do not misunderstand this chapter. Chapter 3, Job did not curse God as Satan had predicted in chapter 1, verse 11 and 2 and 5, or as his wife had suggested. I think I need to talk a little bit about the wife who did not understand the faithfulness, who did not understand the grace of God, who did not understand the mercy of God. Don't get mad at me, but there was this wife who looked at her husband, looked at the sores, looked at his going through this pain, and she said, Job, you can get out of this. All you got to do is curse God and die. But I like what Job said. Job said, woman, thank God Job had some sense. Job said, woman, he didn't say you're foolish. He didn't say you're a fool. Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. Let me help you, men. Don't call them crazy, and don't call them foolish, and don't call them silly, and don't call them stupid. Just say you sound like a foolish woman. But I like what Job said to her. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job couldn't understand what he was going through, but Job said, all my appointed time, I wait until my change come. My question is, can you live within your appointed time? Job, I thank God for Job, because Job says to me, Jemison, you may find days of prosperity, but prosperity also brings adversity. And Job's friends came. I'm preaching right now. Job's friends came and said, Job, this thing has happened to you because you have sinned. Why don't you go ahead and acknowledge your sin? But Job did not argue with him. He just kept on praising God. Bald-headed praising God. No coat praising God. In going through your storm, stop to praise him. If you praise him, God will make everything all right. Death had come, lost his wealth, but he's still praising God. His friends turned to be his enemies. One says to him, curse God. One says to him, leave God. The other one says to him, you've been a sinner. But Job said, I'm just going to wait on God. If you wait on the Lord. The Lord will work everything all right for you. It ought to be somebody here like the man Isaiah said, I waited on the Lord. And the psalmist said, I waited on the Lord and he inclined his ear unto me. Well, I got to let you go. But the Bible says Job lost all he had, had sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, but he kept on praising God. Didn't have anybody to scratch his back, but when he scratched himself, blood came down. But can I help you here? Job said, I'm still gonna give God the glory. I'm still gonna praise his name. I'm still gonna sing the songs of Zion. You can't make me doubt him.
Oh yeah,
I know too much about him. Job said, I'm gonna keep on serving him. And when you get to that last chapter, you see the generosity of God. When you serve him, when you keep the faith, when you walk in the straight and narrow path, when you honor God with your substance, God will stop by and see about you. The Bible said in the end, Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Don't know about you. Oh yeah, sometimes I look at houses. I told the congregation this morning when I talked about God's goodness and God's mercy, how I lived in an apartment. I'm sorry, I lived in a condominium. That's what we call the projects today. We call them condominiums. But when I lived in them, they call them the projects. They were, yeah, for low-income people. It was the first time that I had stairs to climb. It was the first time that, yeah, we had two running bathrooms. It was the first time that I had a decent place to sleep. But when I went back to Dallas the other day and drove through my old neighborhood, the house wasn't there. Oh yeah, urbanization had torn the house down. And then Deacon Shelton, I went to North Dallas because we lived in a duplex in North Dallas. And when I got to North Dallas, I looked and I didn't see my duplex. They had torn it down and now houses, oh yeah, great condominiums were there, great apartments were there. And I asked the man, how much is one of these apartments that I can live in? He said, it's $15,000 a month. And I remember my mother just barely paid $20 a month for rent. And now where I used to live, I can't live there anymore. And then I went to where my mother bought a house, went out on Martha Street, walked down Martha Street, drove down the street, looked at the house, all torn, all, yeah, grass all up, not painted. And I said to myself, look at what physical things can turn out to be. But when I thought about the goodness of God, when I think about how God can bless us and how God can bring us through the storms of life, I said to myself, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, for it is through his blood that I am connected to the Savior. Is there anybody here that's connected to the Savior? If you're connected to him, what you lost, God will replace. Is there anybody here that know that God will replace? My sister, oh yeah, I got to tell this. My sister had a fire, and the fire took everything that she had in the back part of the house. It burned up two cars, her car and her daughter's car. And it burned up all, most of the furniture, except the furniture in the bedroom. And my sister said, Ramada, I don't have any money to buy any new furniture. I don't have any money to get a new place. I said to her, Katrina, don't worry, God will provide. Is there anybody here know something about God's providing? That God is God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is a God that provides. And I said to her, don't worry, sister, the Lord will provide. And she looked at me and smiled and said, I know he will, because I have a brother who cares. Is there anybody here that has a brother who cares? Can I tell you about a brother who cares? His name is Jesus. He is the brother. He is the elder brother who came all the way from heaven down to die for my sins and your sins. He is the brother who walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. He is the brother who gave sight to the blind, made the blind to walk. Is there anybody here? Oh, Lord, who's willing to trust him in season and out of season. I don't know. I met her pastor, Reverend Freddie Haynes. I said, Freddie, Katrina had a fire. He looked at me and said, no, Jemison. I said, yeah, she had a fire. He said, but I said, everything is all right now. Is there anybody been through the fire? And now you can say, everything is all right. The three Hebrew boys went through a fire furnace, stepped out and said, everything is all right. I will not bow. I'm going to keep on praising God. Is there anybody in this place that's willing to trust him when things burn up, when death comes your way? Is there anybody that says, all that I've been through, I never lost my praise? All that I've been through. Trustee Joshua went through three fires and God replaced, and she's never lost her praise. She's never lost her praise. Oh, I wish I had somebody that's saying right now, all that I've been through, I never lost my praise. I won't complain. God has been good to me. I won't complain. Job says, God has been good to me. Standing the door to my father's house, standing wide open. Do you have a brother who cares? Rather than seven sons, Job is now blessed with twice the amount. Rather than three daughters, Job is now blessed with more. Church is standing. Choir is singing. The house may be gone. Brother Wells has been a faithful member of our church for a number of years. 22 years ago when I came, I found him in the hospital and went by and shared with him. And he shared with me that, Reverend, I'm going to have my right leg removed. He said, but guess what? It won't stop me from coming to church. And he's here today because he's never lost his praise. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for the faithfulness, for the joy of serving that Brother Solomon Wells has demonstrated and is demonstrating. We pray, our God, for a special anointing and movement in his life. We're glad, our God, that he has a desire to lead, to serve, to minister to the people of God. We pray that you would use him. Use him according to the gifts that you've given to him. We pray that he will be effective in our telephone ministry. That he'll be effective serving you wherever you allow him to do so. We pray for his children and his children's children. We pray, our God, for his church, for his church family. And now, anoint his head afresh with you all of goodness and mercy, that wherever he goes and whatever he does will be a reflection of your presence, your power, and your provisions in his life. In the precious name of Christ our Lord, we pray. The people of God said, amen.
Some good days.
That's it.
I've had some hills to climb.
Come on, say it if you mean.
I've had some weary days. And some sleepless nights. But when I look around and when I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometime the clouds hang low.
That's...
I can't hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord.
Why?
Lord, why so much pain?
That's...
But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been good to me. He's been good to me more than this whole world of you. Lord been good. The Lord been good. The Lord been good to me. He dries all of my tears away. Then turn my midnights into day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When things are not going well with me, thank you. Thank you. I won't complain. God has been good to me. I'll tell everybody, the Lord's been real good to me. More than this whole world of you could ever be. He's been good. 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 The Lord has been good to me. Oh, he dries all of my tears away. Then turn my midnights in the day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I won't complain. I won't complain. I won't complain. I won't complain. Hey, I won't complain.